Well, it's great to be here. I really appreciate the opportunity. And yeah, as Mike said, that we had a bit of a chat, last week, and here and there, and here we are. I want to. I probably do things a little bit differently to, I guess, to most missionaries. That's just the way that I am. And especially at a church like this, because you sense things and you know things and you know things in the Holy Spirit. I just wanted to say, who put together this morning's music, the songs? Come here. As well, because what you've done in there is that you've made my life a whole lot easier, but you've made the life of this congregation a whole lot easier too. Because what you've done is you've taken us, a lot of churches I'll get there and they'll go, look at this, and dunk, 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 dunk. And eventually, they can come into the situation where they can move into an anointed area in the Holy Ghost. And what you've done this morning is that you've cut through all of that, and you've taken us, instead of one step, two step, three step, four step, we've started around about step five or six. And because the choices that you've made, it's enabled us to move into an area where you just literally, and the word that I had as we were working through, not working through, but as we were worshipping through with the things of God, is that you've just literally just cut through things, and you've taken this congregation and you've taken this morning to a point where you're just enabling us to cut loose in the Holy Ghost. And that's something that you've just taken us through, and you've taken us through, and the team and the singers. But because of the choices that you made earlier when you sat down, we're at a point now where a lot of churches will never get to in a whole year. You have just elevated this meeting and elevated this situation and taken your team through to a point where we are at a plateau before we even get started. And I just want to say thank you for being sensitive to the things of the Holy Ghost, because you listen to what he said and you've gone ahead and you've enabled us. So you don't understand, church, that what's happening in here happens in very few churches. Now, I get around a lot of churches and I see a lot of nothing that's happening. There's three fast songs, three slow songs, and the whole thing's dead. But it doesn't work that way here. It's just you've taken us and you've elevated this situation, and you've taken this morning and taken us to a point where most churches will never get to. Thank you. Want to share this morning an update of what we're doing. And I'm just going to share a bit out of Luke chapter 19. It's the story about Zacchaeus the tax collector. So I'll just read that passage and then see where we go from there. So from verse 1 in 19, it says, Jesus entered Jericho and he was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead. He climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and he welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and they began to mutter, and he's gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and he said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Now, I have a look at this thing and I look through and with what we're doing in Thailand and what you guys are doing here as well. And I just see this. And in verse 1, it says that Jesus entered Jericho and he was passing through. Now, that tells me that he wasn't intending to stay there in Jericho, but he was on the way through. And that speaks to me of the ministries of opportunity, and that ministries of opportunity, they're not overly planned, they're not necessarily planned at all. And we were working with some people in Thailand. They said, Doug, we want you to come and pray for this guy. Now, this is out towards Doisa Get, which is just out of Chiang Mai, the city that we live in. And it's just, I was passing through. I was on my way to somewhere else. Doug, can you come and pray for Boo? Boo is the word for grandfather in Thai. And this guy is 91 years old. And his wife, who's 80, I think she's about 83, 84 something. And she'd been praying for her husband for 40 years. Praying diligently and consistently for 40 years. Now, we went along and I had a chat to him and I said to him, you're 91 years old, what are you going to do? And I didn't pressure him into anything, but he said, look, he said, I need to make a decision. And I said, yeah, you do. And so Boo, that day, at 91 years of age, made a decision to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, it's not just a matter of, you know, we say, well, this is a good thing, and yes, it is. In and of itself, people make a decision for Jesus Christ. But my Bible says very clearly, and it doesn't matter whether you agree with me or not, it's what the Bible says, that there's four points to what we should be doing. Go. And there's three other aspects. Make disciples, baptize people, and teach them. And it's not just a matter of getting somebody to put their hand up in a meeting because 6 months later, 12 months later, 2 years later, they're not there. But if we go out, which we've done and which you've done, and that's why I think that what you're doing with State of Origin is brilliant, because it's enabling people to come in and enabling people to sense and notice the presence of God. Now, what happened here this morning, even some people who are far, far away from God, they would still notice there was something different. They may not be able to put their finger on what the difference was, but there was a difference here this morning. People are being drawn in to the presence of the Holy Ghost. And that's why they might, that as you go through, that people, you don't have to stress about it, and you don't have to worry about it, you don't have to concern yourself about it, because the Holy Ghost is drawing people unto you. Now, don't worry about, you know, I think this is a great idea, because people will come in and they will say, oh no, this is where I need to be. They may not necessarily want to be here, but they'll understand the fact that they need to be here because the presence of the Holy Ghost is in this house. And that's something you need to look after and something you need to protect. And so we're out with Boo and Ya, his wife, and said to them, well, okay. And now he's made that decision, and that decision is being followed up. And it doesn't matter how old or how young somebody is when they come and make a decision for Christ, they need to be discipled into the things of God. And that's what we've been doing quite a bit lately. I'm sort of jumping a little ahead of myself, but there was a church plant that is in Meso, which is up on the border. And we've been doing some stuff together on and off over the years, a little bit here, a little bit there. And the local pastor up there, he said, I've just really been praying about a missionary coming and helping us. And he didn't advertise and nothing went out. And we were up there and just talking with him and said, well, what do you want to do? And he said, I want to go and speak to my people, his aka, and I want to do some stuff into Burma. And so as a result of wanting to do some stuff, as a result of us passing through this particular area, we've been able to establish a work with him on both sides of the border, and now he is moving out and moving into the areas that that God has put upon his heart, into those areas, particularly in Burma. And I've had some fairly robust conversations with different people about various things. Last night, it was actually 2 o'clock this morning, I was talking on Facebook with a woman who's a friend of ours, and her and her husband were in ministry together, and he committed suicide. And I said to her, I said, that doesn't lessen the call of God that is on your life. And she was completely anti to it, but the call of God is still on her life. She is partying hard right now in Mexico, trying to forget all the pain and all the rest of it. But the call of God that was on her life then is still upon her life now. And every one of you, you have some sort of call of God on your life. Whether you understand it, whether you don't understand it, that's irrelevant in the sense that the call of God is still upon your life. And he wants to do things in the life of every person in this building, and even every person in this building today. today. And so we're there as we're just passing through, and the opportunity has come up, and we're working with this guy and planted churches into this region in Burma. And people say to me, Doug, that's great, because the passion. Now, I'm going to be quite honest with you. I've struggled with this a whole lot lately, but here's my take on it right now. I personally think that passion is an overrated emotion. Now, the reason I say that, it's important. It's really important. But we have to be responsible in what we're doing, and we have to be committed to what we're doing. We've been what we've been doing for 15 years, and look, passion is not going to drive you for 15 years. Passion is not going to drive. The doors here were open whenever it was. Passion may well have started, but passion won't propel you and keep you going. It's things of commitment and things of responsibility. That you've got to be here. Why do you have to be here? Why do you have to be doing what you're doing here? Because the community of Epping requires the presence of the Holy Spirit. Not just the idea of having a church in place, but the presence of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, there's a lot of churches that come and do stuff, but they don't carry the presence of the Holy Ghost that this church carries. And in verse 2, it says, there was a man by the name of Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax collector, and he was wealthy. And the interesting thing, as I looked at this, there's tax collectors and there's chief tax collectors. And so Zacchaeus wasn't just a tax collector, but he was a very important person within the framework of what was going on. He was somebody who was very strategic within the area. And so because it was Zacchaeus, and because he was a chief tax collector, then people started to look and to take notice at the conversation that was going on between him and Jesus. And we've seen some very strategic things that have happened. A couple of years ago, down on the western side, about 4 hours actually south of where we live in Chiang Mai, there's a lady started to do some stuff, and she's a pastor and she's doing some great things. And we started working together with her and said, what do you want to do? She said, well, we're planting this church here, and Burma is, the trees in the backyard are about the same distance as Burma is from where she's working. And so we just hop on a wooden boat and off we go over there. Now, when we get over there, we get greeted by certain people. And the people we get greeted by are all carrying machine guns, and they're loaded, they're ready to go, and they've got handguns and they've got grenades, and they don't like surprises over there. And so they're having a lot of issues and troubles and problems, etc., with the Burmese people, because they're a people group who doesn't get particularly recognised. And so when it hits the fan and it does on a regular enough basis, they're ready to go. And so when you get over there, if you decide you want to come over with us and you decide you want to go into that area, well, we can do that. But just be forewarned that the first people you meet will have machine guns, and they're loaded and they're ready to rock and roll. But the guy that she started talking to over there, he's actually an army general in the Karen Resistance Army. And so the Karen is another people group. And so we just started having a little bit of a conversation. And so we went over there, we made a couple of trips in, and the army general has said to us, and said to Nuchira, he said, we need to plant a church together. And so we thought, well, okay, that's a good sign, but you don't just jump in with whoever wants to do what. And so we sat back and we just rolled it back a little bit and said, all right, why do you want to plant a church with us when you can plant a church with, you know, the Baptist, the Seventh Day, the this, the that, whatever it might be. And I, for my own self, and a guy that I work closely with, Dan, we needed to have an understanding of why they wanted to do what they wanted to do. The man was strategic, so it was going to be very easy for us to just go in and do. And hey, you planted a church in Burma, that's great. But it's not as simple as that. So I said to him, why us? And his response was pretty profound, really. He said, because you have something in the Holy Ghost that the others don't. And that's been a difference that we've seen. We're praying for a lady in the same region. We led her to Christ, and she's made the decision for Christ, and she had a lot of hearing issues. Could hardly hear anything at all. And so we prayed for restoration of a hearing and nothing happened. And then we said to her, okay, can we go through your house and see what's in your house? So we started going through a house, and there was a shrine here, and we took it outside. And there was a painting there, and we took it outside. And there was bits and pieces of this and that and whatever else, and everything was taken outside. And once every one of those things that was shrine, demonic, whatever you want to label it, everything was taken outside. Said to her, is there anything else? And she said, no, there's not. Prayed with her again, and bang, her ears popped open. Now, when the Holy Spirit has free rein into a situation, into a life, into whatever it is, it makes working with this stuff a whole bunch easier. And again this morning, because the guys have ushered us into the presence of the Holy Spirit, and that makes a huge, huge difference. It just makes the flow of the whole thing so much easier. This woman's hearing has been restored, and she was shocked and she was surprised, but she has now gone on, and through the understanding of what's happened, she's leading other people to Christ. And there's a church community that's being developed around what she's doing. Why? Because the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit was there and healing was there. Another couple of other things that Jesus said to us on the way out the door, as it were, apart from go and disciple and baptize and teach, it was almost an addendum. Oh, by the way, heal the sick, raise the dead, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So every one of us here, it's not just myself and not just Pastor Mike, but every person here has the capacity. You need to understand that. You have the capacity to do these things. And as you step out in boldness and as you step out in understanding your authority, and that's something that I believe the Western Church lacks. We do the palaver well, we do the this, the that, the smoke machines, the yada, yada, yada. All of that we do very, very well. But we don't understand who we are in Jesus Christ, because we have the authority because the Holy Ghost resides within us. And so each of us, if you call Jesus Christ your Lord and Saviour, each of you has that within you. And so it's not just about we need to leave it to the pastor, we need to leave it. No, 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 no. Everyone who is in Christ has exactly the same level, if you like, and authority, etc., that myself and Pastor Mike and anybody else carries. And so this situation, it was quite strategic. And see, as I said, Zacchaeus, he was not just a tax collector. He was a chief tax collector. So you need to look, and I think this is a word for the church, that you need to look for people in this region and in this area who are potentially strategic players. Now, I'm not saying you wipe this one off or that one off, but look for strategic players. Zacchaeus was a strategic player in that situation. Verse 3, he wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. You know, we're in a situation in Thailand now where there is a fairly significant hunger, and that same hunger is in certain churches here in Australia. A few months ago, I was in a country church in Victoria, and I shared a message with them. At the end of the message, I said, anybody who wants prayer, come, we'll pray with you. And we prayed for 3 hours. So the meeting went for 2 hours, and the prayer time went for 3 hours. And in Thailand, a similar thing happened that I shared, and there was a couple of words, you know, that don't deny prophecy and don't deny speaking in tongues, because those sorts of things, they can crack a meeting apart. They can just crack it right open. And that's what happened, that I had a word. Well, actually, it wasn't for the pastor, but it was for somebody in the church. And I can't even remember today what the word was, but I spoke to them, and it smashed that thing in their life. And then that opened up, and we were just able to flow, shared some stuff, and then got back to them and said, well, okay, then, anybody who wants prayer. Now, this is in a Thai context. There's about 50 people in the meeting, I think 60-something maybe. And we said, well, okay, well, let's pray together. And we started praying and started praying and started praying. And we finished praying and prophesying over people and et cetera, et cetera. 3.5 hours later, the last person that we prayed for was a 12-year-old boy. This 12-year-old boy had waited 3.5 hours to be prayed for. So there's a stirring and there's a hunger in the things of the Holy Spirit. Some of you will remember Pastor David Cartledge. He was the principal at the Bible College when I was here in Sydney, it was then at Chester Hill. And he wrote some books. And one of the books was called Faith Principles, and one was Getting to Know the Holy Spirit, and there was a third manual. So they went as a cluster together, and it was talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we started working with these things, and some people in Thailand have said to me, this is really important. Can we talk about it? Yes, we can talk about it. Have you got 30 minutes on Tuesday? Yes, I've got 30 minutes on Tuesday. Let's grab a cup of coffee together. So we sat down for a cup of coffee and I just started to explore and to explain. And they said, can you come and teach this in the church in 2 hours? No, I can't. Because there's probably 200 hours worth of teaching in the framework of what's going on there. And I said to them, we can do this. Are you interested? Yes, we are. So we're getting that material translated into Thai, and we're going to be able to teach that material to the Thai people so that they can then exponentially carry on and teach it within the framework of what they know and understand as well. You see, there's a hunger right now that's happening in the things of the Spirit, not just in Thailand, not just in Australia, but throughout the nations of the world. If you look and you see what's happening, you look and you see what's happening in some of the Arab countries, you look and you see what's happening in your own nation right here. What's happening in Alice Springs? There's been almost 900 people that have committed their life to Christ in Alice Springs in the last 3 weeks. And what's happening on the Sunshine Coast, and what's happening even in some areas in Sydney and in Perth and around and about, there is just stuff that's starting to pop up here and there on the grid. And I saw a photo with a meeting in, I can't remember what the country was, but there were 700,000 people in that meeting, at one meeting. And so, you know, people are hearing and they're getting hungry. And so we're working with this material from Pastor David, and went for a coffee with these guys, with Watton New. And it was a 30-minute coffee that lasted 3 hours. And, you know, because there's a hunger there and a desire there and there is a passion there to see what's happening. And verse 4 says, it's an interesting verse. It says, so he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. And so Zacchaeus was smart enough to understand and strategically put himself. He said, well, okay, I'm short. This is not going to happen. And I don't know whether you're familiar with those types of trees. They're a bit squat. They're a bit short. They're whatever else, but they're quite strong, and you can quite easily climb up into them. And I thought about this, and I thought, well, you know, what about that tree? Now, the reality is that that tree had been planted probably 15, 20 years earlier. So somebody who had no idea that Jesus was going to be walking down that road planted a tree. So it's not all about everything that happens. What's happening here today and what's happening here into the future is based on the stuff that was done years ago. See, Zacchaeus didn't just happen to be in a particular place. He was in an area where there was a tree that was appropriate for what he needed to be doing. And, you know, you're in an area now that's been built on over the years and over the decades even, that people have gone previously and they've brought you into a situation because they've gone ahead and they've planted the sycamore fig tree years and years ago, and now we reap the benefits of what's going on there. But the other aspect to that is that Zacchaeus realized and understood that if he didn't climb the tree, the rest of it wouldn't happen, because he was too short, he was too this, he was too that, and all the rest of it. But he climbed the tree. And so there are people even in this meeting today that's a word for you, that you need to just, you need to stop doing nothing and you need to climb the tree. Now, I'm not going to point out who they are or whatever else, but there are people here who need to receive that into their spirit and climb the tree, because God has anointed you and God has appointed you. You need to climb the tree, because God has done stuff in your life. God has taken you through certain things and he's prepared you and you're ready to rock and roll, but you need to climb the tree. There's not going to be, look at me. There's not going to be, you know, more this and more that and more all the rest of it, but he has called you, he has anointed you, and he has appointed you, and now is the time for you to climb the tree. Verse 5, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. We do a lot of stuff that doesn't appear to be normal and natural and flows in and all the rest of it. Now, Zacchaeus was a tax collector. Everybody hated him and it was all wrong. Jesus went to him and Jesus pointed him out and said, I need to stay. I need to eat at your house today. And so here's Jesus associating with the tax collector. And, you know, we've done a bunch of stuff, not immoral or illegal, but just looking a little bit different. And people saying, why are you doing that? Well, we go over borders without visas. We cross into certain areas that are quite dangerous, not because we're looking to be heroes within the framework of ourselves, but because Christ has called us to things that are a little bit different. And so association, if you like, you know, Jesus, he associated with tax collectors, he associated with prostitutes, he associated with, you know, whosoever. When Fiona and I first went to the field, we didn't understand this at the time, but there was a lady that was saved into a church. We don't partner with his church any longer. They've had other stuff that's going on and they've moved off into other directions. But their missions coordinator come to me and she said, we've assigned this lady to partner with you and she's giving you, she's tithing into your work off her income. And I said, oh, yeah, what does she do? And she said, what does she do? Well, she's actually a prostitute. And so we were getting tithed into this lady's, off this lady's salary as a prostitute. Now, you're all kind of looking at me a little bit weird, but the reality is that when people come in to the kingdom of Christ, their life has changed, but their situation, their circumstances don't necessarily change overnight. So, you know, you can't be going from doing this job and saying, well, okay, that's this and that, and it is all of those things, but there's a process. And that's what Jesus has said to us, to each of us, that we go and we disciple and we baptize and we teach. And then they'll come to an understanding, as this girl did, oh, what I'm doing is not right. And then she has changed her vocation. She's a strong, solid Christian now because she was discipled into the things of Christ. And people were not, you know, sort of like having a crack at her about, you know, you can't this and you can't that. And we get quite legalistic about some things within the framework of that. And so sometimes we just have to take a breath, and which is what we've done in Thailand a couple of times, take a fairly deep breath and say, God, you are in control. And he is. And so, and Jesus has gone in and he said, because Jesus knew Zacchaeus and he knew his heart and he knew what he was on about. But then in verse 6, Zacchaeus came down at once and welcomed him gladly. And so when you kind of, it's almost as if you kind of cut people a little bit of slack and you say that I don't agree with what you're doing, but I understand what you're doing and I understand the process that you're going through to see changes come into your life. What did Zacchaeus do? He welcomed. And what did Jesus do? He welcomed. And as you know, and as Mike was saying, as you welcome people in. See, here's what happens. In the book of Acts, it says that they saw and they heard. And when they saw and when they heard, the rest of the verse says this, that they come running to the synagogue. And when people are seeing and hearing things happening, then they come running to the synagogue. We had some meetings in Bangkok a couple of months ago now. It was called Revive Asia. Bill Johnson came out, different ones came out, and things started happening. And there was a colleague of mine. She's Assemblies of God from America. Now, Assemblies of God in America, Assemblies of God in Australia is not the same thing. You need to understand that. And she said, Doug, that there was something happened in that meeting. There was about 5,000 people in the meeting, which is a big meeting for a church meeting in an Asian country like that. And I said, well, okay, Deanna, what's going on? She said, I really wanted to just get up there and speak out a word in tongues. And I said, well, that's okay, do it. And she said, what if no one will translate? And I said, that's okay, I'll translate it for you. That's no problem at all. And so, you know, people, Doug, you can't do that. Well, actually, yeah, you can, because if you have a look in 1 Corinthians and 14 at the back end of it, Paul says this. He says, I wish that everyone would prophesy. I wish more that every... I wish everyone would speak in tongues, but I wish everyone more would prophesy. And here's what Paul says. He says, as you're prophesying, people will walk in through the door and their sins are cast before them and they lay prostrate on the floor and they get up off the floor and they say, yes, that Jesus Christ is Lord, your God is God. And as you allow and as you encourage the gifts to flow, which is what we're doing in Thailand, is working with the gifts and understanding the gifts and restoring the... I love that song before, Restoration. And I believe that that's what it's all about. As we restore the things of the Holy Ghost, as we restore under the church that which has been lost to the church, that you will see people that will come through the door, that they will... Their sin will be cast before them, that they will lay prostrate on the ground and they will get up off the ground declaring Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour. And that will happen. And that and here's the deal. You can either be part of it or not. Now, whether you choose not, that's your decision, but it's going to happen. Why? Because the Word of God says that that's going to happen. And verse 7, all the people, they saw this and they began to mutter, he's gone to the guest of a sinner. Now, you will have opposition, but this is the beauty of opposition. If you have opposition, it tells me you're doing something right. I would be a lot more concerned if I didn't have opposition than having opposition. If you're doing things well in Christ, there will be problems, there will be issues, people will lose job, you will lose money, health will be an issue, this will be an issue, that'll be an issue. But if you're coasting along in life, I believe then that is the time that we need to be concerned, because there will be opposition as we step out in the things of Christ. You know, we've had people that have had visas pulled, we've had this happen, that happen, police turn up and just bang, 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 one thing after another. It's getting too hard, Doug. It's getting too difficult. It's getting too challenging. No, hang in, because you're on the right track. Because there are people even here today that need to hear this, that you need to hang in. You need to keep with what you're going and you need to keep with where you're doing it. Why? Because there is a breakthrough on the way. Why? Because that is the way that Christ works. You work through the problems. You work through the issues. You work through all of that. And he's at the other end waiting for you. He's at the other end waiting. And that's what happened there. And Zacchaeus, verse 8, he stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give up my possessions to the poor. If I've cheated anybody, I'll pay them back fourfold. And this is what happened, because he was a chief tax collector. He was a very significant person within the framework of what was going on in this city. And he was somebody that everybody looked at. Everybody hated the tax collectors. Everybody hated the chief tax collectors more, because they were just very flat. And he's just gone, because God has just grabbed a hold of Zacchaeus right here and he said, oh, this is all going to turn around. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And not only did he talk about it, but what we understand from Scripture is that he actually followed through and did it. And so people will come into the church and they will say, well, okay. And then they need to turn things around in their own life. And see, there was no preaching done here. There was no... Zacchaeus came to an understanding of his own volition that he needed to turn things around. And as we teach and as we preach and as we share about the things of the Holy Spirit and as we disciple people, they will come to a point of understanding that this is wrong in my life, and they will turn it around themselves. As you teach it, as you preach it, as you share it, as you deliver and develop on all of that, you don't have to worry about trying to smash people into the kingdom of God, because they're drawn. They're drawn by the Holy Ghost. And... in verse 9, Jesus said today, and I love this verse, salvation has come to this house. Why? Because this man too is a son of Abraham, as we all are, sons and daughters of Abraham. Verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost. You know, and we've worked through a lot of things in Thailand. There was Jung is a young fellow there. He's 14 years old, and... there were issues with bones in his leg and bones in the leg of his mother. And so we prayed with him and he was healed. And then we taught him how to pray a prayer for healing. And so he went home to his Buddhist mother and he said, I've been talking to the Christians. She said, have you now? And he said, I know this to be true. I know that Jesus Christ can heal you and he can save you. And his theology was pretty rough, but that's okay. And we taught him to anoint his mother with oil and to lay hands on the area that was affected. And we believe and agree with him. And so he's gone and done this, and his mother's ankle was fused, and he's prayed, and it's gone crunch, 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 and her ankle has fully restored today because, not because we were there. I've never met the woman. I know people that have, but I know that she's also being today discipled into Jesus Christ, and she will never turn away from him, not because she made a decision, but she is being discipled into the person of Jesus Christ. She's baptism, teaching process is all going on, and she's becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're seeing, is strength in some of the things that we're doing. Some things are a challenge, but as we move forward, as we are in Thailand and into Burma and other areas as well, it's not just a matter of, you know, a kind of abracadabra thing or put your hand up, you know, one thing, and I upset people with this, and that's okay. You know, while every eye is closed and every head is bowed, and then somebody shoots their hand up, and then they come to church the next week because they're passionate and excited, and then they come to church the week after because they're a bit passionate and they're a bit excited, and then by the time they get to about week three or week four, they've gone out the back door because the reality of church isn't what they understood when there was the smoke and mirrors deal happening. As we teach and as we share and as we disciple people, we will see churches established. We will see people come into the kingdom of Christ. See, whatever's happening in Thailand and whatever's happening in other nations of the world, this is why it's happening. I remember I had this conversation with Pastor Laurie a number of years ago, and I've had this conversation now with Pastor Mike, and I just want to just implore you, God, you, what you do matters. What you do here matters into the nations of the world. Churches are being planted in Burma. Leaders are being raised up in Thailand and into Laos and into other areas because of the decisions that are made at Cornerstone Epping. You are making a difference in the world. Bless you guys. Thank you for your time.
Well, good word, isn't it? So what?